The 2021 season is nigh upon us. Hello, everybody. Terry Bennett here on the Flow Sports DFW Metroplex Huddle right here on the LSG Sports Network, part of the Lone Star Podcast Network. Now, last year, because everything with COVID and the season starting late and kind of didn't really know when the season was going to start until very late, we weren't really able to have a DFW regional show, but thankfully we are back in 2021, and you know what that means? Back with me will be Matt Diggs of The Old Coach, one of the best, if not the best, when it comes to information about schools in the DFW area, whether it be 6A all the way down to small school Diggsy. And so what we're going to do on the show today is we're just going to kind of get Diggs's thoughts on storylines going into the season, kind of a little bit of a preview of some of the districts, talking about the region, and just some of his thoughts on things that are going to be happening in the 2021 season here in Dallas-Fort Worth, and we do appreciate him joining us as always. We also appreciate our title sponsors. We have a new one this year, and that's Flow Sports, and high school football is back, and Flow Football is your home for the biggest games of the year. Get unprecedented access to live coverage of Texas high school football and so much more. All you have to do is subscribe by going to flowfootball.com/Lone Star Gridiron. That's flowfootball.com/Lone Star Gridiron. We do appreciate them. They're going to be sponsoring a lot of things here, making a bunch of shows possible on the LSG Sports Network, and we do appreciate that. We also have another sponsor that's going to be joining us for the whole year here on the DFW Metroplex Huddle, brought to you by Flow Sports, and that's Sadie Sparks. I got to tell you, this woman is absolutely amazing. She is a very young real estate agent who's up and coming, considered one of the hottest stars in the DFW realty scene. You can check her out at Halo Group Realty, 903-932-4104. You can also check her out online, sadiesparks.haloagent.com. For all your real estate needs in the DFW area, she's young, she's ambitious, she's one of the most personable people you will meet. She is going to find what you want, not what she thinks you want. She's going to ask the questions that need to be asked to put you in the real estate that you want to be in. She's been one of the quickest success earners since coming into the DFW market. And even though she's young and she might be a rookie, she's extremely savvy and knows what she's doing because she simply listens. And you don't get that a lot of times in real estate agents. I bought the studio in the house in 2015. And while I love it, there were times I was frustrated by my real estate agent. It didn't seem like she was listening to what I wanted. Sadie will do that. She will listen to you and she will take care of your real estate needs. Again, give her a call, 903-932-4104, part of the Halo Group Realty. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, Matt Diggs joins us and we're going to talk some DFW football right here on the DFW Metroplex Huddle, brought to you by Flow Sports.
Hey everybody, this is Chris Daly with Lone Star Gridiron. Did you know that Lone Star Gridiron is fast becoming the Netflix of Texas high school football? Yes, we have several Texas high school football documentaries on the site with more coming very soon. We're talking the Cuero Gobblers history, the Abilene Eagles history, the Brownwood Lions, and of course Odessa Permian. To sign up for this premium access, simply go to LoneStarGridiron.com/signup and become part of the Netflix of Texas high school football.
Terry Bennett back here on the DFW Metroplex Huddle. And just like CM Punk, guess who is returning? It's Matt Diggs. We're going to have him back this year after taking a hiatus last year. Of course, it was a forced one. We didn't have a show, but we have a show. And when we have a DFW show, that means we have Matt Diggs. And how are you doing, Mr. Diggsy?
Well, now I got cult of personality in my head, so I hope that's an intro or an outro today, but I'm doing great. How you doing, Terry?
I know we're still getting back into a COVID type of football world, and we're going to have some cancellations, and we already have, but at least it kind of feels a little bit normal, at least compared to last year.
Yeah, I mean, last year was such an incredible season that the fact that the UIL and everybody was able to get it in, but having that split season, you know, I'm a little frustrated we don't have that again, because I really loved diving into the deep, into the smaller schools for that first 4 to 5 weeks, and then getting to go through almost, you know, into January. That was fun. I think they should consider something like that again.
I actually agree. Now, I think the issue you're going to have is when you go to, when you look at bigger areas, especially like DFW, when it comes to basketball, they're not going to like that. But yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed just, first off, I enjoyed that the small schools got the spotlight for basically a month, really. And then, right. like you, it was kind of nice to have January football. And as for somebody like me, because I have to be so deep dived into 4A and 3A, a lot of times by that time, that Saturday, that Friday night and Saturday games at Cowboy Stadium, I'm just fried. I'm like not even right. really paying attention. So it was nice to have one weekend for those and then a month later having a weekend just for 6A and 5A.
Yeah, and you talked about having the spotlight, and they got the spotlight in the state championships because, you know, the small schools are usually getting the Thursday 11 a.m. games, yep. and they got to be front and center as well, and I think they deserve that as well because you get that community outpouring, and I know you're gonna, if you have a Duncanville or versus Lake Travis kind of a state championship game, you're going to have 60,000 people there. But when you have the communities in those small schools, it's just, you know, it's even louder than those 60,000 sometimes because they are so passionate about their football. So Susan, think about it.
You know, if you couldn't even do it a month, if you wanted to keep everything like basically before Christmas, and that's kind of always been their thing, I wouldn't have a problem if you started 4A and below a week earlier and just do them back-to-back weekends. And here's why I say this. The one thing, the one knock to me that you have with all the state championship games being in one place is it's like, oh, great, you won, now get off the field. Next game. Oh, right. Great, you won, get off. You don't have, I mean, you have like this 15-minute window, but you don't have those moments like when we won state in Marshall in 90 in the Astrodome. We were the only game that I remember being played. There might have been one later that night. But we were, I mean, that, the whole town was on the field for 4 hours after. You can't yeah. do that now, and you lose a lot of that. And sometimes it does feel a little conveyor belt. Get the game gone, go. Get the game. And so I kind of wouldn't mind if they even just I want to keep everything around in the same place, but I wouldn't mind if they did it like 2 weeks before Christmas, 4 a.m. below, the week before Christmas, 6A and 5A, and allow both of them to have their time in the sun, so to speak.
And it doesn't seem like it would be too hard because they have that spring football practice rule that's big school-based anyway. So yep. there's kind of a week gap where, you know, the smaller schools can have two scrimmages. I think just a little bit of a tweak there, and you can easily accomplish that.
But as we know with UIL, sometimes the best ideas, for some reason, never even get thought of. But I will say with you, though, the UIL handled what they could last year pretty darn well. And the other thing I hate is that that happened on the 100th year, and you can't really redo the 100th year celebration, but there was a lot of things that I know the UIL had planned that kind of got lost in the shuffle, and I do wish we could kind of re-celebrate that part if we could, something like that, because that's the one thing that also got completely just looked over last year.
Yeah, I know looking at the schedule, that kind of triggered in my head because, you know, I was doing picks and I'm seeing Cleburne versus Houston Heights. I'm like, that's a really odd knot. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, that's that 100-year yep. celebration game that they're going to have this year. So to a certain extent, I think we're going to at least see that. But I think it'll be kind of up to us as the media to push the narrative of this is the significance of that because so it doesn't get lost.
That's a good idea. So speaking of the season, what we're going to do on this week's episode, and by the way, if you first time you're listening to us, each and every week from now till the state championship game, even if there's no DFW region theme, which come on, we know that's not going to happen in the state championships, Matt and I will be here for 16 shows, maybe 17 if there's something really great state championship we want to talk afterwards. But that's what we do each and every week. We just kind of talk DFW high school football. And so since we haven't done a true preseason show, that's what we're going to do this episode. And mainly, I'm asking you, Matt Diggs, what are your big storylines that you are interested in for DFW high school football in 2021? And you can list them off how you want, and we'll just discuss from there.
Well, we'll just kind of go we'll start in 6A so okay. I can kind of keep a mental calibration and kind of go through the districts and see, obviously, starting at the very top, Ollie Gordon, quarterback now at Trinity. I hope to check that out this Thursday when they play Arlington Lamar. He is such a talent at running back. How is that going to translate into Trinity's ultimate success? Because I don't know. It seems like as a pure running back, he does better in that in that field. And I know a lot of the contrarians will say, well, you have the ball, he has the ball every single play when he's at quarterback, but sometimes that doesn't translate. So I'm very curious to see how that works. And in that district, I'm also curious, there's two up and coming teams that, you know, seem loaded, but there are also teams that have seemed loaded in the past and sometimes haven't always delivered. But I'm very excited about North Crowley and Saginaw Boswell in that district because they have the talent to shine. And you know what happened about 20 years ago when North Crowley had a little bit of talent and had a lot of people talking smack about them. You know, so I'm not predicting a state championship for North Crowley by any means, but it's a storyline I'm interested in because, you know, it's been the same old teams for so long, Haltom and Trinity and even Weatherford getting in there. Now we're going to get to talk North Crowley, and Saginaw Boswell was so young last year. What do you think about that? I mean, do you think North Crowley's got something?
I just want to say, though, now, if we get into the playoffs and an opponent that North Crowley's about to play announces that their star quarterback has been suspended, maybe you're on to something with the Panthers. But, no, you're right, especially offensively, when you look at what they have coming back. And I think for the first time in – probably that span of that, I think it was 2003, championship, that they have true talent on the field. But you're talking about Saginaw Boswell. That's the one that gets me because of the defense that they have. If that defense can continue to develop and they return everybody from that defense, and they return a good amount on offense, including on their offensive line and their tight end position, but that defense for Boswell, that offense for North Crowley, I'm not saying they're going to upend Trinity, but let's be honest. You and I talked about this 2 years ago, and it's carried on. Trinity keeps winning, but they haven't really won like they had been, you know, their history. Right. And I honestly think that this year, this could be the year one of those teams, if not both, passes Trinity up in the district standings.
And I was very curious to see that Boswell-Eaton game, and we've already had it canceled. Yeah. So because Eaton's one of the teams in 4-6A I'm very curious about because they kind of have that same resume as North Crowley as a team that really hasn't been in the area elite but has a chance to get up into that area elite, especially this year, because one of my big overarching storylines is I don't know how good DFW is. I don't think this is going to be a year, and you talked about in 16, 17 weeks, we may not be talking about DFW schools. I mean, to a certain extent, we have to talk about some because there's just going to be – we have whole regions, so we're going to at least make it to the state semifinals in just about every area. But I don't know that we're going to see this DFW dominance run that we've seen the last 5 to 7 years where it's 3, 4, 5 state championships. I really, you know, don't look at any of the 6A teams other than Duncanville and go – that's a state title team. That's a state title team. South Lake Carroll had that, and they lost their quarterback. And when you had the number one quarterback in the nation on your team, you could talk about a state championship. And that's not to say they're not going to be good, but, you know, when you look at a state title run, they have to get up to into that super elite, like Galena Park and Lake Travis and Austin Westlake have been the out that quarterback, they're not at that complete elite level. So it kind of pushes everything down a little bit. And that allows opportunities for teams like Eaton and North Crowley to a certain extent. And one of my dark horse teams, and I'm seeing people start to catch on to them a little bit, is Little Elm. And I think Little Elm could be one of those teams that could get up into that kind of that middle ground where they're giving teams all kinds of fits. And then also, how is Allen, new coach? I mean, that's a fun story right there. And I guess I get to see it day one. And I'm unfortunately worried that they're going to try to make an example out of my little Panthers this week to welcome everybody back into the Coach Morris era. But that's got to be a big storyline, is how is he going to fare as a coach?
Well, you know, how is he going to fare as a coach? What is his – and I'm not saying this – like he's not wanting to coach at Allen, but I don't think if you'd asked Chad Morris 5 years ago where you're going to be in 2021, I don't think high school would have been anywhere close to where he would have thought. You go back, though, and you're right about the whole DFW, especially in the bigger ranks, and even down into Argyle, every team that we have been able to kind of hang the hat on for the last few years, they all have the potential to be as good as they've been. But for the first time in this 5 to 6 year window, they all seem to have a couple of big questions. Just like you talk about South Lake Carroll, as much as losing Quinn Evers is going to hurt them, I think what really hurts them is losing him and also already not having a lot coming back on offense. That was right. What he was going to do. He was going to stabilize a young but talented wide receiver core and stabilize a young but talented offensive line. Now you're having to put a young quarterback who is going to be talented, but will he have that stabilization that Evers would? We talked about Trinity already, and you're right. Duncanville, I mean, at this point, I hate to say it, but until they win a state championship or Samples win the state championship, they always have the big question mark. They can return 22 D1 starters, and they have the big question mark. So you're right. I don't think there is a team that we consider a bell cow this year. Now, that doesn't mean they won't come up, but I'm like you. That also gives a chance for some of these schools that are just right at the bottom of that surface trying to break through that glass ceiling. This is the year, and if they don't do it this year, you then start to go, okay, maybe they're just not going to do it.
Right, and Rockwall Heath and Rockwall are both in District 10 6A, two teams I'm looking at that are, again, right there, and they have a chance. And Rockwall Heath really overachieved last year, but when it came to the Cedar Hill game, you know, Cedar Hill took care of them. And when I was really diving into Duncanville for some of my preseason work, this is a team that's probably got, on paper, you know, legacy Dangerfield-like defense with their talent. But their offense has so many questions on it. Now, their defense, you know, who's going to score against them? But, you know, it seems like in the playoffs, when they play that high-powered offense, that defense falls asleep for a game. And then all of a sudden, this team that may have only put up, you know, only allowed 10 to 20 points all year, a team like a Southlake or a Rockwall Heath is putting up 40 on them, and they lose, and their offense can't keep up. So for me, Duncanville's questions are going to be on their offensive side of their ball. And then when they play really good teams, which credit to Duncanville, they're playing the best in the non-district schedule, how are they going to fare? So I'm very interested in Duncanville's non-district slate, and then obviously Cedar Hill and DeSoto are going to push them in that district.
Well, you go back to 10-6A, and I know you're going to say I'm East Texas, but look at Legacy. Tyler Legacy returns maybe two of the best five running backs in 6A, if not the state. But also you've got a coach in Joe Willis that he took a team that had not won a playoff since 2009, got him in the playoffs, won a playoff, and he's got state championship pedigree, and he always does better his second year. And he's in a district that's a little bit of a kind of a changing of the guard. I don't think Skyline, if they make the playoffs, I think it's at that fourth level. I don't think they're any better. And like you said, as good as Heath and Rockwall are, they also at times will just put up games where you just kind of leave you scratching your head. And against the Legacy ground game, that could happen. I think 10-6A went from last year being kind of a meh district to, okay, there could be some potential for these three teams that make the top three to have some advancement in the playoffs.
Well, I saw the Legacy game where they won that playoff game against Neyman Forest last year, and I wasn't very impressed. I mean, they beat a pretty pedestrian, middle-of-the-road Neyman Forest team, and they did not dominate them by any means. So that was a game that Neyman Forest could have easily won as well. And I thought, if I'm gonna put Legacy in that tier, I'm gonna want to see them blow away Neyman Forest. And they had a hard time with Neyman Forest. A lot of that has to do with the coaching. Neyman Forest is a very scrappy team. But you're wanting to elevate Tyler Legacy into that next level. They got to take care of Neyman Forest in the playoffs if they want to get to that level.
But remember, first playoff win since 2009. So you've got a team that I think since 2009 have made the playoffs four times, maybe six. I can't remember the numbers off the top of my head. But every time they've got beat. So sometimes getting over that first playoff win, it's going to be a little bit scrappier than maybe the talent on the field. Because I'm like you. I thought Tyler Legacy would win by 14 or so. It was a close game. And just like you, you got to give credit. Neyman Forest was one of the scrappiest teams in the state last year. But I do think that mental hurdle of that first round playoff did mean something.
Oh, it does, and just the extra practice, and then, you know, that extends later into the season because of last year. So, and like you talked about, Mesquite ISD has kind of taken a fall from grace as far as where they used to be 10, 15 years ago, you know, I would project none of the Mesquite teams to make the playoffs in 6A this year, which is a, you know, something that it's almost like the Plano schools now. The Plano schools are going to be all projected not to make the playoffs in 6A, and all the Mesquite schools are projected not to make the playoffs. And how the mighty have fallen.
Well, and that's again, this is one of those years where we talk about where some of these teams that 5, 10, 15 years ago weren't even on our map, they have a chance to break through and start maybe taking some of these powers we've had the last 5 years and start pressing them down. I'm just curious, like when you got North Mesquite, all jokes aside, how much does having a former NFL player, how much does that help you think a program?
Oh, absolutely. And the confidence and the perspective, and then just the people he probably brings in for talking to you, you know, the kind of, you know, pep point. Up kind of things. You know, he's got a higher tier. He's got access to higher level things. And it's just going to be motivating for the players as well. And I'm sure special teams is very well coached over there for sure.
All right. So where do you want to go next?
Let's go 5A, 5A Division One. And I'm a little sad because I know you like to give me some grief about things. And we talked about Samples getting, you know, he's got to win the big one. Yep. And we had the same storyline about Hennigan. And guess what he did last year? We didn't get to highlight his coaching job. But at the same time, get ready for me to kind of crap on it, that he had the best team on the field every single week. There was no point where Denton Ryan was not the best team on the field, significantly so. And even when they played Mansfield Summit in the playoffs, that was the kind of – I was like, wow, that was a lot closer than it should have been, because Denton Ryan should have blown Mansfield Summit away. Now Denton Ryan is not always going to have the best team on the field. So this is going to be a big storyline in 5A Division One. Are they going to be able to repeat based on scheme and coaching and things like that, instead of just having 5 D1 players and just be able to line up and you know, just beat you based on talent, with what I call kind of the when you have the video game talent, when your scores are higher than their scores, you should win. But a lot of times there's some coaching and schematics involved, and that's where Highland Park always seemed to upset Denton Ryan in these areas, because they could sneak in there and take care of business, which is why that Jerry Jones Classic. Jerry Jones Classic.
I know.
But that Denton Ryan Longview game, I'm thinking Longview, you know, in week one. And I'm not even apologetic about it. I think Longview might be in by a couple of scores at the end of the day, because I don't think Denton Ryan is, when they don't have the best talent on the field, will they be able to win? That's not to say they're not going to have a long playoff run, but again, they've set the bar at state championship now. And that's what I'm looking at. And that kind of goes back to what we talked about with 6A. I'm not feeling necessarily that we're just going to be guaranteed that state championship in DFW and 5A.
Well, so first off, I love the fact, and this is why we have you as a host, that you can take a 15-0 season and make it just kind of tear it down. But the question I have for them before I move on, I want to question you about Longview, but the question I have for them is, will they even win their district when you got a team like Lone Star and you got a quarterback like Garrett Rangel? And that's the exact type of team you're talking about that can out-scheme a better talented team. And I'm not even sure if Denton Ryan is going to be head and shoulders above on the talent with it when it comes to the Rangers.
Yeah, and then everybody else in that district is so bad. And
yes,
we've talked about this with other problems. Are they going to be ready for the playoff grind? Because that region is so good with, you know, you're going to have – and Lancaster's got a lot of questions, but you're going to have them. You're going to have Highland Park. You're going to have Longview. You're going to have a really good College Station team coming up from Central Texas. Even Magnolia may overachieve. How is that going to be when you have to go from playing the dredges of Frisco ISD and the other Denton teams, having to play those kinds of teams every single week in that region? That's a big, you know, that's a big ask for them to have to step up from that level of talent to that level of talent. And you know, again, last year they were just better than everybody else, and good for them. There's something to be said for when you win those games, when you're better, because I've seen plenty of teams that, like Duncanville, South Lake Carroll last year, Duncanville had the better team. They did not win the game. So when you get into the playoffs, those trap games are something to be said for the coaching to not let not get you in that trap. But now look at that talent. Look at all of this talent in this region. Can Denton Ryan do it? And like you said, get out of that district, because Lone Star has quite a bit of talent as well. But Lone Star has a lot of questions, I think, as far as depth goes too. Because yeah. One thing I love about Denton Ryan is when they got those studs, they go both ways. And they only have to go both ways for a couple of quarters because of that bad district kind of a thing. So they're kind of fresher in the playoffs. Lone Star doesn't have that kind of depth, and they don't have that philosophy where they put their go daddies on both sides of the ball. So that's something that Hennigan has always done. That if you look at the last 5 to 7 years, there's always been two or three players, you know, those big receivers that also played in the secondary last year. They do that, and that takes their talent and kind of multiplies it to the next level. So for me, Lone Star, will they be able to have the depth, and will Denton Ryan be able to go four quarters at that point? Now, again, Denton Ryan is scheduled pretty salty in non-district, very much like Duncanville has needed to do because they have that weaker district. So I'm curious to see, can they do it again?
Well, and yeah, and again, we go back to where we are. How many of those games will actually get to be played? Because I do think we're going to see numbers rising and games canceled. A lot of it is because of COVID, and a lot of it is, it's just easier to cancel non-district. You want to make sure you get your district games in. Now, going over to 7-5A Division 1, before we head over to Division 2, the Longview thing, I feel like that district is an interesting district because you've got the names in Highland Park and Longview, but you got a lot of questions with both of them. Highland Park's having to replace all their offense. Longview's having to replace all their defense. Neither one of the teams made it, you know, as deep as they're used to, even though Longview played 12, or they both played 12. But still, we're used to them all both playing for region finals and state semifinals. Is there a chance? Is there an inkling of a chance for a team like McKinney North, who made the playoffs last year, but let's be honest, it wasn't pretty, but they return the house, and they have actually some really good talent. Is there any chance that they could end up wiggling it in over one or two of the Highland Park and Longview's?
Not a chance. I don't even know why you're trying to sell that.
I just was trying to, man.
But if you want a team you want to look at in that district that, you know, may, it's not going to challenge Highland Park or Longview, but may get up to number three, that's been a team we haven't talked about in a while, it's Wiley East.
Yep.
That is a team that's got new coaches, and they are freaking loaded this year at skill positions. I think Wiley East is a team that could get third in this district, and I'm not saying they're going to be Highland Park or Longview, but right now they're kind of everybody's last place team because they've, you know, you can count their wins on one hand over the last 3 or 4 years. That's a team I think is ready to make a upset bid this year. I think they're going to surprise a lot of teams.
All right, so talking about all this with state championship teams and agreeing that 6A and 5A Division I, there's a lot of questions. Let's go to 5A Division II, and you know it's been Alito's for years, but they have some questions. But I still feel that if any of the teams that will make it through the smoke, Alito is still the best shot.
Yeah, Alito's the best shot, but I really looked at Region 3 and 4 as having a lot of the, you know, a team like Liberty Hill, that's a matchup nightmare in non-district or in the playoffs, and Fort Bend Marshall. It's finally Alito's back down to everybody else. Now, they're still a very good team, and they're still going to be a favorite. I know a lot of people have Lovejoy as kind of a high team these days. But I also like Ennis. I mean, Ennis is a team that last year kind of got starstruck, and I don't know what happened with Ennis, because I expected more out of Ennis last year, and I saw them against North Forney, and they had the talent to do well, and I think they've got a lot of talent back this year. Timberview is going to give, I think, Alito in district a big run, and I really like Grapevine. I mean, Grapevine is very well set up for success. I think they're going to beat Colleyville Heritage this week and kind of introduce themselves to that, and then they have that kind of that top of that district 1-4, that bracket is not strong. I mean, Lovett Cooper is going to give anybody who wants to play them everything you want out of them, but I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a Lovett Cooper Grapevine regional final to get out of to see who's going to get out of that area. So Grapevine has a really good opportunity to make it to the state semifinals, and so that's got to be a team we have to watch as well.
I think the only question you have for Grapevine, and this might not be fair, but you and I lean heavily on the historical side, is it's every time we expect Grapevine to respond from a good season with another good season, it always seems like something happens. An injury here or inconsistencies, or they just weren't as good as we thought they were. So I do think Grapevine has to battle that. But yeah, you nailed it. I keep looking and just stepping outside of DFW, Lubbock Cooper has established themselves as the team that's going to come out of the West every year, and I don't think that's going to change for a while. And so yeah, that could be a tasty matchup.
Oh, absolutely. And it's weird, and I hate this because we did this all the time back and before we went to the Division I, Division II, where you had Aledo and that kind of that upper bracket. And it was like you're just waiting for Aledo to play a West Texas team like Ryder. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Aledo was still going to win by 4 touchdowns. And they just played nobody. And really, when you look at this top of this District 1-4 pairing, it's very weak because you have a lot of less teams than the El Paso in District 1 and 2, and they're not very good. And then you've got some talent. I mean, District 3 is going to have 5 really good teams getting 4 spots. A good team is not going to make the playoffs. And in fact, I would argue that whoever is the 5th place team in District 3-5A would probably have won District 1 or 2 if they were in it. But just the bad luck of being that team in that district with, you know, Canyon Randall and Ryder and Wichita Falls and Cooper, somebody can't make the playoffs in that district. But then, you know, you have Grapevine and then or the ISD. So you kind of have that same issue with District 4-5A. So Grapevine and Lubbock Cooper, you can just pretty much go ahead and pencil that in for the 4th week of the playoffs. I think that's definitely going to happen. And then one of those teams will get to play whoever comes out of 5-8, which could be Ennis, Aledo, Lovejoy. And there's a lot of good matchups there. And you'll notice, and you mentioned that in the very beginning, I did not mention Sauk. Sauk is just, they're better. And I think the coaching for Sauk is fantastic.
Yeah.
But again, you got to play some really good teams in the playoffs, and that district doesn't do them any favors as far as getting them ready at a high level week in and week out, getting ready. And Poteet doesn't even do that anymore.
Yeah, I was about to say that used to be what Petit kind of was, and you know I say fallen. They were 7-4 last year, but they don't have anybody coming back. And you're right. I think what has hurt Sauk is going to continue to hurt them is they're not going to be battle tested when it comes into the playoffs, and you're playing teams that are already deeper than you, and then those second and third strings have already gotten more snaps than your second and third strings have gotten.
Yeah.
Now let me ask you, put on the small hat, Diggsy hat, 4A.
Okay.
I mean, we can say the same thing about Argyle. You can always pencil Argyle in, but if of all the years that you can always pencil Argyle in, I think this is the year that they can be beat. And I like a team, and we talked about this on our Sideline to Sideline Big R's preview shows. I like a team that a lot of people, I think, are not sleeping on, but they kind of are, and that's Stephenville. I think Stephenville has a chance this year to make a very nice run.
I mean, you look at that district, and it was so frustrating last year because it was so crazy with the, you know, we had 5-day breakups and games to try to get everything in. But the top 3 of that district is fantastic. La Vega, Heritage, and Stephenville. For me, if I'm looking at a team, I'll be contrarian to you. I like Midlothian Heritage because they're so well coached and they're so big for a 4A school. They remind me of Argyle because they have that kind of size going into things. La Vega will have the speed, but Heritage has the size and the technique. So, and Stephenville's got a little bit of both, you know, so it's kind of like the mix of those. How are they going to scheme? You know, it's going to come down to turnovers and that sort of a thing. But I would say if you're asking me today, all 3 of those schools are within 1 score of each other to start out with. And then it's just going to come down to obviously execution when they play each other. But then they will be ready for the playoffs because they had that district kind of a tilt.
If I remember right, Grant said it best. He felt that no matter who won this district, it's a good chance we're looking at maybe a 3-way tie with everybody beating everybody. And I love that you're spotlighting Heritage because, you know, a few years ago when they had that stud quarterback and stud wide receiver and they had that really good year, everybody thought, okay, they're going to go away now, and they haven't. They have consistently now been area finalist, region finalist, and that's how you build a program. And calling them Argyle is dead on. They're bigger than what people realize up front year in and year out. When we went and saw them a few years ago against La Vega, and this was in the heyday of La Vega, I think 2018, and Midlothian Heritage was bigger and at sometimes even more agile on the line than the great La Vega defenses. That's when you know that Heritage is building a program. They just need that breakthrough win to get them into that upper class. Thought they had it a few years ago against Carthage, but hey, you give Carthage 25 seconds in the ball, they're going to score on you all day, every day, and that's what happened. But Heritage isn't going anywhere, and the only thing is, will they get that 4A title, or will they get that 4A deep, deep, deep run before they eventually move up into 5A? Because that's what's going to happen with them. I don't see how. They probably will stay 4A one more cycle, but I don't really see how they can stay in four more years in the 4A division, unless the numbers just keep going so weird because of what 6A is doing at the top.
Right. And you talk about the three at the top of District 5 4A. Got the same thing going on with Argyle, because Melissa and Paris, yes, are both teams on the rise as well. And everything we just kind of talked about just repeated there with getting ready for District, and Paris with that kind of that run-based option. And Melissa's going to spread it out a little bit, and Argyle is a lot more multiple. They can do it both ways. Argyle was just killed by injuries last year. Their running backs who are coming back this year were third and fourth string running backs last year because of the depth and everybody getting hurt. And I got to watch that Argyle-Paris game in the playoffs, and Argyle just had so much depth, and they are so big. And that is something where they have an opportunity that some of these other schools don't have, especially in the smaller ranks, is that they are so deep. Their depth chart is so talented, and that gives them an opportunity. But again, they're not heads and shoulders above. We talked about these six teams. They're all going to have to play in the playoffs. So one turnover here, one fluke play there, a special teams thing. All of a sudden, Argyle, they're out.
Well, I actually, in our Big Arts preview show, I actually predicted Paris makes the state championship game. I think Paris is uber talented, especially in that run-based offense. I think they return eight starters. And they're a team that last year probably maybe finishes at worst second, but COVID hit them at the worst time, and then they needed to win in the last week just to get into the playoffs. And we saw how far that got them. And for the first time in 10 years, you could actually count on Paris, because that's always been kind of their knock, is when you think they zig, they zag, and when you're ready for them to zag, they zig. Last year, three of their losses were things they couldn't handle. They couldn't help COVID, and I just feel like that team is that team that's just – there's always one, and I feel like right. They're the team that everybody's like, okay, they're pretty good, and then by the end of the season, everybody's going to go, oh, wow, damn, they were really, really good. I want to add another one to that, though. We're going to go over to the other district, and you might want to go, no, it's DISD. But I'm telling you what, folks, Carter's getting close. Now, they're not Carter of old, but Carter is getting close to, if nothing else, being consistent. Now, people will look at that Melissa playoff loss, but Carter, I think if I remember correctly, basically 60% of their defense was out because of COVID issues in that playoff game. But Carter returns a lot, and I really like Coach Spencer Gilbert. I think he's in first real chance to truly put in what he wanted to do in the offseason. Again, COVID. I just think the talent's there. The question is like you talk about other ones, and including South Oak Cliff, that district, is it going to challenge them enough to give them any kind of pushback to get ready for the playoffs?
Yeah, I love the Carter story. I love the storyline. They're going to have to be – they're going to have to run that district.
Yes.
And they're going to have to run it in a way where it's not close. I mean, like, they're going to have to run it like Sauk is going to run their district to get up into that level. And in a way, if they're running it like that, they're not going to be pushed in any sort of way. But at the same time, if you want to speak with them in that vein of the other six teams in that region, you got to do that. And if they're playing close games against I'm a little concerned about them, but I think they have a really good opportunity.
Well, and it's funny you bring up Wilmer, because you remember Wilmer last year and the year before, they were supposed to be the hot, oh, here they come, they're back from the dead, and they've yet to have that consistency. And that seems to be what happens in 4A a lot of times in the DFW area outside of the Argyles, the Midlothian Heritage, and now you can include Melissa, but hell, 5 years ago, Melissa was exactly that. Man, 1 year they can look great and they play for state, and then the next year they're getting beat by average teams by three touchdowns.
Right.
All right. Anything else you want to say before we close it up?
Well, we'll go to 4A Division 2 just to touch on it. But unfortunately, I'm sure sideline to sideline did a fantastic job of highlighting how much better the East Texas schools are than the DFW schools. And I would have to agree with that assessment, not having heard it yet since, you know. But I'm just saying, you look at that 8-4A with Gilmer and Pleasant Grove, and they're better than the Sunnyvales and Caddo Mills and all that. But again, if I'm going to throw out a team to watch out in the DFW area, I'm not talking state title run, but watch out for Singer. I think they have an opportunity to do what Aubrey did last year and break up into that next tier and kind of break that glass ceiling. So Sanger's kind of a team that I would say watch out for in 4A Division 2.
I'm surprised you didn't listen if that's what you said, because we literally talked about Aubrey. Aubrey took a step last year, and they have enough coming back. They do lose a lot, but can they take that second step where they can be consistently competitive with Salina? Which, by the way, Salina might be back too, folks. They return everybody offensively, and that offensive line, Grant went and saw them against Heritage in the scrimmage, and the first thing he said to me was, this offensive line is back to the 2000-era offensive line for Salina. That's a big thing. But you're right on Sanger. And it's also time. That's what Sanger does. Sanger gets really good. That class will graduate, and then they'll go bad for 2 years and let all these sophomores get a lot of playing time. And then by the time they're seniors, they're really good again. And I agree. I think Salina, Aubrey, and Sanger, however they finish, they're going to be teams that make some playoff runs. And those teams might be playing each other again in the playoffs, because in their little four-district bracket, nobody else stands out that can be really, really what I'd call competitive with them.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. And Sweetwater and Graham, you know, they have opportunities to be good. Iowa Park, I think, introduced themselves to me last year, but I was really impressed with Aubrey. Of all of those teams in that four pack in that region, they said, okay, we're part of this Denton, Braswell, Guyer area over here in that north part of Denton County. We're going to introduce ourselves. And I think they did, but hey, it's a better world when Salina's playing good football, because over the last 10 years, you know, they were the Aledo of this, of 3A at the time. And now we're seeing them, the growth is kind of catching up. Gunter kind of overtook them. I think people decided, oh, we'll just go up to Gunter if we're going to move in that area. But I think Salina's now kind of stabilized and getting their spot back.
Let me ask you, dropping down even further, is Brock going to be Brock? Now, we have a Brock Coaches show, and I interviewed right before me and you're talking, I interviewed their new head coach, who has a state championship pedigree as a defensive coordinator, Aledo, Coach Billy Mathis, and he's fantastic, and I'm not worried about him coaching. But this was also, whether he was there or Chad Worrell was there, this was going to be the year where people go, okay, Brock doesn't have everybody back like they normally do. They still have a ton of talent. They might have the best tight end in the nation in Nathan Jones. But this is a chance. A window, I think, has been open for some teams to maybe knock Brock off that throne.
Absolutely. And in their district, Pilot Point is one of those teams that can do it, with Ish coming back for Pilot Point. And then Jim Ned, obviously, who did the job last year, they're very good. And they're probably what most people would consider the regional kind of the leaders of that region.
Very much
but
so.
Again, I appreciate you have a coach's show with him, and you can clip this and play it for him if you need to embarrass me at some point. But whenever I see a new coach going into a situation like that, you got to show me something. I just can't give you that thing and say, okay, well, you're just guaranteed to do that. I mean, it took him years to get that footing over at Cedar Hill, following in McGuire's footsteps. It's going to take a couple of years, and I think Brock is going to have to be patient for that, because Weatherford had that opportunity. They had that really good with the quarterback that went to Vanderbilt and the running back, Kenny Seals. They couldn't do anything with it. And that was in that weak region where you had the El Paso teams, the West Texas teams, and Weatherford couldn't do anything with that. So I know he comes from Aledo and has a pedigree to that end, but I haven't seen him as a head coach win games. And yes, he's got a great, but I got to see it. You got to earn it. You know, I'm just not going to, oh, well, you know, because, you know, Chad had so many wins at Brock, and however that went down, he's not there anymore. I'm a little worried about Brock, if we're going to be honest.
Well, and not only is he replacing a guy that won, He's replacing the guy that literally built the program with his own hands. What I enjoyed about his interview, though, is he's not running from that. And that's important because I think too many times coaches come in and they feel the need to imprint their this is what I do, even though whatever y'all were doing has worked for 10 years. But since I don't do it, we're not doing it. And he's been like, I have married what they've done well and the things that I believe work. That is important. I think that is a good step. But, yeah, I totally agree with you. I think you see teams smell a little blood in the water. You're not worried about Chad Worrell over there making that key call because that's one of the things I think gets underrated about what Brock did was they had that Ulysses Trinity under Lineweaver ability of – they threw just when you never expected it, and even when you expected it, somehow your safety still bit on the run because the running game had gashed you for 300 yards the whole game. Can that kind of stuff be replicated with the new staff?
And you mentioned Trinity as a team that kind of took that step down with the pedigree coaches and dropping. I'm worried about them this year because losing Covert Savage, and I think that's going to factor in, and Brock's another one of those teams that got to show me something.
Hey, everybody, this is Chris Daly with Lone Star Gridiron. Did you know that Lone Star Gridiron is fast becoming the Netflix of Texas high school football? Yes, we have several Texas high school football documentaries on the site with more coming very soon. We're talking the Cuero Gobblers history, the Abilene Eagles history, the Brownwood Lions, and of course, Odessa Permian. To sign up for this premium access, simply go to LoneStarGridiron.com/signup and become part of the Netflix of Texas high school football.
Terry Bennett back here on the DFW Metroplex Huddle, brought to you by Flow Sports, right here on the LSG Sports Network and the Lone Star Podcast Network. Want to again thank Matt Diggs for joining us, and it's a pleasure to have him back on the show. Want to have a new segment. Didn't even tell him about this, so we'll spring this on him. Each week, I want any of you DFW fans, or even if you're a fan outside DFW, if you have a question for Matt Diggs, we're going to start a new segment called Ask Diggsy. You can email them to me, txbroadcaster75@gmail.com. And each week we'll ask him a couple questions and see what his thoughts are. And if you know him, you know you're going to always get an honest answer, even and probably if you don't agree with what he's going to say. But that's the great part about Matt. He's going to give you what he feels and what he thinks, not what he thinks you want to hear. So it's going to be an awesome year. Really missed this show last year. We had ended 2019 with the DFW, with him in studio. It was so fun. And maybe if things will kind of settle down on that COVID front, we'll have him in for a couple in-studio shows come the playoffs. Because I actually do prefer in-studio stuff. It's more efficient. And also, again, with everything going on, easier just to do them on the phone. But we do appreciate Diggs for taking the time. Again, we want to thank our sponsors, including our title sponsor, Flow Sports. High school football is back, and Flow Sports is your home for the biggest game of the year. Get unprecedented access to all the live coverage of Texas high school football and so much more. All you have to do is subscribe by going to flowfootball.com/Lone Star Gridiron. That's Flow, F-L-O, football.com/Lone Star Gridiron. Also, I want to thank Sadie Sparks of Halo Group Realty. You can reach out to her at 903-932-4104. You can also check out our website at sadiesparks.haloagent.com. For if you want the most ambitious young realtor you're going to see, check her out. Again, she might be young, but she's savvy. She knows what she's doing, and she knows what she's doing because she's going to listen to the needs that you want. So, again, you can check her out. Give her a call, 903-932-4104, or visit her website, Sadie Sparks Halo Agent, sadiesparks.haloagent.com, the Halo Group Realty. All right, that's going to do it for this week. We appreciate Matt. We appreciate our sponsors, and we definitely appreciate everybody else. It's not quite normal football. We are going to have some games canceled, but we're trying. And at least so far, it seems like it's going to be a little bit more normal than the 2020 season is. And at this point, that's all we can ask for. Week one results, we'll talk about that next week, right here on the Flow Sports DFW Metroplex Huddle on the LSG Sports Network.